Hello, I'm Rob, a producer on the Black Country Talking News, and this week's edition is for the 23rd of March, 2022.
Hello, and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by the sight loss charity Beacon Centre. We are pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. Our Talking News service is also available via the free Wireless for the Blind app on the Beacon Centre website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast via services such as Apple or Spotify, or as a free CD. Simply contact Beacon Centre on 01902 880 111. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Thank you, Angela. And I'd like to first start by wishing Audrey and Frederick Anstey a happy wedding anniversary. It'll be their 71st anniversary on the 26th of March 2022. Speaking for us this week, we have myself, Rob, Anne, Simon, Helen, Angela, Terry, Christine, Ed, Liz, Mina, Ian, and of course, Flashback Roger. In this week's edition, we have an update from Beacon, some local news from the Black Country, we have the weekly quiz with Mina, news from West Bromwich Albion and Wolves, a Did You Know section from Flashback Roger, the weather, news about the government's council tax rebate scheme, we have another edition of Sounds of Nature, a 10-day workout, and rounding all that off, with a piece about the history of Mother's Day. We start, however, with information about upcoming changes to the Black Country Talking News Alexa service. The Alexa service for the Black Country Talking News is being upgraded. To ensure you continue to receive the latest editions of the Black Country Talking News, you may need to update your Alexa device. This means you will need to disable the current Alexa skill and enable a new one. To do this, you will first need to say, Alexa, disable my talking newspaper. Once you have done this, you next need to say, Alexa, enable talking newspapers. It's as simple as that. When this change has been made, the way you access the Black Country Talking News on Alexa will be as follows. First say, Alexa, play talking newspapers. Then ask for the Black Country Talking News by saying, Alexa, play Black Country Talking News.
That's all there is to it.
Now we have our Guess the Sound question. I'm going to play a sound clip, and all you have to do is simply guess what it is. So, here's this week's clip. Have a think on that, and Mina will reveal the answer later, alongside the usual quiz answers. Up next, then, is our first block of local news, brought to us by Liz, Ed, Angela, Ian, and first up, we hear the voice of Christine.
Cracks have once again been found in the trams that operate between Wolverhampton and Birmingham. The West Midlands Metro service was suspended on Saturday morning and remained out of action on Sunday before the operator confirmed on Sunday morning that all services have been cancelled until further notice. However, bosses have now confirmed that new bodywork cracks have been discovered. In a statement, West Midlands Metro said, following the identification of new bodywork cracks in our older trams, West Midlands Metro has taken the difficult decision to temporarily suspend services so detailed inspections can be undertaken by the manufacturer. We want to ensure we have a network that is reliable and safe for everyone, and we understand firsthand the impact the suspension of services will have on our customers' daily lives. These precautionary inspections will greatly reduce the number of trams available for operation, which is why we have had to take the decision to suspend the service. We understand the frustration many people will feel at this latest interruption and sincerely apologise for any inconvenience it may cause. In a leaked email to staff, bosses have said the cracks have been found in the bodywork of some of its 2G trams. These cracks are not related to the faults which led to the service suspension in November, they said. In its email to staff, bosses added, "This means that we will not have enough trams available in the coming days to deliver a consistent service and have had to take the difficult decision to again suspend services." The more detailed inspections will be completed later this week, and this will give us a better understanding of the issue and how many trams are affected.
Wolverhampton has been left disappointed after the shortlist for the UK City of Culture was unveiled. The final four locations from the original 20 bids have been revealed, seeing the city miss out on its bid to follow Coventry as City of Culture. The four locations of Bradford, County Durham, Southampton and Wrexham County Borough for the 2025 shortlist were approved by Culture Secretary Nadine Dorries based on independent advice made to the government by a panel of experts led by Sir Phil Redmond. The finalists were whittled down from a record 20 initial bids to 8 longlist applications, which also included Cornwall, Derby, Stirling and Armagh City, Banbridge and Craigavon. Wolverhampton Council Deputy Chief Executive Mark Taylor said, "We were pleased to be able to submit an entry for the 2025 UK City of Culture, as it was an opportunity to showcase our wonderful city. While we are disappointed with the decision, we still view Wolverhampton as a city of great culture and will press on with our plans." All bids were asked to explain how they would use culture to grow and strengthen their local area, as well as how they would use culture to recover from the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Pubgoers have seen pint prices at the bar spiral and have been warned there is more to come. Drink prices in West Midland-based Marsden's restaurants and pubs have risen in recent days by between 20 pence and 45 pence on average in the last week. They are also up by up to 20 pence a pint at Wetherspoon's pubs, and small Midlands brewer Jules has today warned of big price rises down the line. The level of increases varies between pub restaurants and drinkers' pubs. Some products have gone up by more than 45 pence, and for others, there has not been a rise. The rises have not so far affected food prices at its chains that include Marston's 2 for 1, Generous George, Milestone Rotisserie, Milestone Carvery, and Pitcher and Piano. Marston's is not alone in the hospitality industry in raising prices, with other factors impacting chains, including supply chain issues. Pubs face increased energy bills and they are paying more for delivery because of petrol and diesel costs. The price of malting barley, the most important ingredient for lager, has more than doubled in the past year, and there could be more pain to come. A spokesman for Marston's added, "The price increase is a direct impact of the soaring energy prices and operating costs as being experienced by all businesses and households across the country."
Chancellor Rishi Sunak should impose a windfall tax on the enormous profits oil and gas companies are making to help hard-pressed households, said an MP. Pat McFadden, who represents Wolverhampton South East, said estimates could see the average annual household energy bill rise to £3,000 or more from October. The Labour frontbencher said a package of support drawn up by Mr Sunak, in which households could receive up to £350 of support, was now rendered obsolete. And the Chancellor of the Exchequer should reconsider his refusal to impose a windfall tax, a one-off tax imposed by the government to help those in need. But Mr Sunak has said the tax would put off further investments into the UK, as he blamed decisions by the previous Labour government for the current situation. Mr McFadden, Shadow Chief Secretary to the Treasury, said the package of energy announced by the Chancellor last month has already been rendered obsolete by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Some estimates of average annual household energy bills suggest that there will be rises to £3,000 or even more from October. That is a ruinous figure for many of our constituents. Will the Chancellor revisit this support package in next week's spring statement, and will he reconsider his refusal to fund help for hard-pressed households through a windfall tax on the enormous profits that oil and gas companies are making? He added, "Of course, there are global factors driving up energy prices and inflation in many countries, but what singles out the UK is this government's decision to impose a tax rise on working people right when the impact of rising energy bills is hitting people the hardest."
I don't scare very easily, but for the first time I was petrified. I spoke to my wife on the phone, told her that if anything happened, to tell the girls I was a good man. Those are the words of a fit and healthy father of two from the Black Country, who suffered a heart attack in January and is now raising awareness of the condition. Tim Harris from Sedgley regularly went to the gym at least 3 times a week, but started to feel a dull ache in his chest after going to Devon for New Year's Eve. The 43-year-old head teacher, who is with his wife and 2 daughters, put it down to indigestion due to eating a lot over Christmas, and it went away after 5 minutes. But the pain returned 4 days later, like a dull ache once again, almost like he had an elastic band tightening around his chest. He kept silent, as to not worry his family, but felt clammy and queasy before the feeling disappeared. Weeks later, he headed to the gym, returning an hour later to help one of his daughters with her homework when the pain returned. After checking his pulse on his Apple Watch, the head teacher watched his pulse fall down to 34 beats per minute, so alerted his wife, and they agreed to get it checked out. A heart attack occurs when the supply of blood to the heart muscle becomes blocked, which can starve it of oxygen, potentially causing serious muscle damage. And whilst the early signs of a heart attack can vary, the most common symptoms include a heavy or tight squeezing sensation across the chest, often going up to the neck and into the shoulders or down the arms, sweating and a sense that something just isn't right. The person will be conscious and breathing. Dr. Joe Martins, consultant interventional cardiologist at the Dudley Group NHS Foundation Trust, said helping people to recognise when they or someone around them is experiencing a heart attack and getting them to seek early medical help is vital.
Now it's time to hand over to Helen, who has for us this week's Beacon Update.
Hi everyone, it's Helen from the Beacon Centre. Well, it is officially spring, and while it's definitely a little warmer, I'm not sure the weather's totally got the memo yet. Things definitely seem a little brighter though when you can feel the sun on your face, don't you think? Let's hope that we're going to be feeling more of it in the weeks to come. Talking of spring, our Easter raffle is back. We're so excited. Eggs do not come much bigger than the ginormous one, which will keep even the most ardent chocoholic going through Easter and beyond. It's about a metre high. Tickets are just £1 and you can get them in any of our 7 retail stores, at our centre or online at www.justgiving.com/fundraising/Easter Raffle 2022. As well as being in with a chance to bag yourself an extra special prize, to see what I did there, you'll also be helping to support people with sight loss as well. So what are you waiting for? Hop to it and get your ticket today. Terms and conditions apply. Just see our Just Giving page for details or ask at our centres or shops. Over the past week, we've also been marking this Social Care Day of Remembrance and Reflection to honour the work of the adult social care workforce and remember those who lost their lives during the COVID-19 pandemic. From our colleagues in the NHS and healthcare sector to our team here at Beacon, we're so grateful for the incredible efforts of everyone to support people over the past 2 years, and we'll be reflecting on the sacrifices made. One of the ways that organisations were asked to mark the day was through flowers. And we shared some lovely pictures on social media of the beautiful blooms that our members have been working on by colouring and crafting. Now, we've got some really exciting news to share with you this week. We are just thrilled to tell you that our amazing sight loss advisors have just completed their 1,000th referral in just 18 months. The specialist team help people access the right support for them, whatever stage of their sight loss journey they're at. With lived experience of visual impairment on the team, they really understand the challenges that having sight loss can bring, and we're so proud of the difference they've made. In the words of one beneficiary, Thank you so much for all your help, but a special thank you for your care and kindness. We couldn't have put it better ourselves. If you think the team could help you, get in touch by calling 01902 880 111 or email inquiries@beaconvision.org. Now, last this week, have you got your ticket yet? There are less than 2 weeks to go until our family fun colour run, and we'd love for you to join us for a blast of brightness to kickstart spring. It's at Wolverhampton's East Park on April the 3rd. There'll be four colour stations full of colour surprises and a colour pass party to celebrate the end of a race. You can find out more by heading to our website, www.beaconvision.org/colour-run. That's it for this week. I'll be back to speak to you all again soon. Bye-bye.
Cheers for that update, Helen. Up now, we go into another block of local news. And starting this one for us, it's Angela.
Castle Meadows Care Home on Dibdale Road in Dudley was closed after being deregistered by the Care Quality Commission, according to Dudley Council. The home, which was run by care provider Intercare Group, was a purpose-built care home provider which offered holistic, person-centred care amenities for up to 51 residents with complex conditions like dementia or restricted mobility. It had been given a rating of requires improvement following a Care Quality Commission inspection in July 2019, having been put in special measures in a previous inspection due to concerns raised around quality of care, medication and safety and well-being among the issues being raised. The inspectors in the December inspection found significant concerns relating to infection prevention and control practices, as well as finding that improvements had not been sustained in the administration and storage of medicines, with people not always getting their medication as prescribed. Other issues identified were care plans and risk assessments not reflecting support and nutritional needs, quality and safety concerns around the service, and people not being given the opportunity to raise any issues or concerns they may have had, as meetings were not being held. Dudley Council sent out a letter and email to the families of each resident at the start of the week after council bosses said the Intercare Group made the decision not to appeal the Care Quality Commission notice to close the home.
Food bank operators are calling for benefits to be increased as the number of people going without meals hits almost 2 million. Charity Trussell Trust, which supplies centres in Staffordshire and the Black Country, claims one in six people on Universal Credit in the UK visited a food bank at least once in the past 4 months. It said others were living in cold conditions, unable to afford power or heating. Trust bosses have now written to the government to request higher benefit levels in line with the rate of inflation as a bare minimum to help householders cope with rising food and fuel prices. The move has the backing of community operators. Black Country Food Bank Chief Executive Jen Coleman said, "We are seeing our services being pushed to the limit as people are facing so many reasons to turn to food banks. Cuts in benefits, energy prices and the cost of living without a raise in wages makes life really tough. We have seen a lot more of the older generation who are saying that they are struggling to make ends meet. People just need more money, whether that comes in benefit increases, wage increases and or cash grants. Things aren't going to get better. We are concerned about how sustainable our model is, especially as donations have decreased due to the cost of food. We hope that action will be taken soon before food aid charities buckle under the weight." A YouGov poll of people claiming universal credit shows 2 in 5, or 40%, have been forced into debt this winter just to eat and pay bills.
A football club has apologised for racist chanting and antisocial behaviour on its official supporters coach on the return home from an away game. Hales Owen Town has banned a number of fans from travelling with the club following the incident on the way back from the game at Corby Town on Saturday. The club said as well as being banned from travelling on the coaches, the fans involved would also be subjected to strict conditions on any home games they attend. A statement from the club added that it was continuing to investigate the incident and identify any other fans involved. "We've always promoted the Grove as a safe place for supporters of both teams to come without fear of bigotry, and we pride ourselves as being a very family-friendly club," said a spokesman. "We are extremely grateful to our fans that stepped forward and reported this incident on Saturday, and we apologise to our true supporters who had to witness and listen to this appalling behaviour. Racism has no place in society, let alone in football. We are disgusted that a very small minority of people see it necessary to behave in this manner. Anyone found to act in an antisocial manner or that makes racist or homophobic gestures will be banned from the Grove." The statement added that the club, in partnership with Dudley Council and West Midlands Police, operated a drop-in centre where individuals could report any instances of hate crime.
A former Marine turned window salesman is driving to Poland to deliver supplies to help Ukrainian refugees. Dave Walters, CEO of DW Windows, will set off for Poland in a van full of dry foods, sanitary products, baby food, nappies and medical supplies. The 53-year-old ex-firefighter from Compton in Wolverhampton said he loves to help people and wants to do as much as possible. "I'm told that they are inundated with clothes but need other provisions. I can only fit so much, so while I'm there I'll spend donations to buy supplies from supermarkets to give to refugee camps and any others who need them. If I can transport people to safety while I'm there, I will. I just want to give any help I can to the Ukrainian refugees." Mr. Walters added that he has been given hundreds of pounds worth of donated food. Anyone else wishing to donate can do so at one of his showrooms at Meadow Lane, Stafford Road or Brick Street. The former Royal Marine has contacts in Krakow, who he says will provide him with a translator, and is looking forward to meeting with other people and organisations assisting in Poland.
Adam Partridge and PC Lee Alexander were presented with Royal Humane Society certificates for their part in saving the man's life after the incident at the Old Crispin Inn on Church Street in Stourbridge on June the 12th last year. Mr. Partridge was working as a doorman at the pub when a member of his team was assaulted at 2 a.m. before the man who attacked his colleague then punched out a hole in the pub's window, causing a deep cut on his arm. Mr. Partridge from Briley Hill used his first aid training to care for the man who was bleeding heavily and was joined by PC Alexander, who had responded to the assault. The two men cared for the man until paramedics took over, with doctors saying that the patient would have gone into cardiac arrest if it had not been for their actions. They were presented with their awards by Chief Constable Sir David Thompson at an awards ceremony on Tuesday, March the 15th. The Royal Humane Society is a charity that gives awards for acts of bravery in the saving of human life and also for the restoration of life by resuscitation. Certificates of commendation are presented to people who have made a significant contribution to the saving or attempted saving of a life, though their own life was not necessarily at risk.
Up now, it's time for your weekly mental workout, as we have the quiz questions.
Hello and welcome to this week's Flashback Quiz. All the answers you need can be found later in Flashback Rogers' Did You Know feature. But for now, here are your questions. Are you ready? Question 1. What did Johnny Walker do before he made whiskey? Question 2. How many bottles of whiskey are exported per second from Scotland? Question 3. What was the name of the man who claims to have invented Irish coffee? Question 4. Which brand holds the record for having the smallest bottle of whiskey? And finally, question 5. How much did the world's oldest bottle of whiskey fetch at auction? As always, I'll be back to reveal the answers later in the show. But for now, good luck!
Well, there's some questions I could certainly raise a glass to. Up next, while I give those a ponder, we're into a block of local news. And starting this one off, we first hear Christine.
Dudley Council will waive the fees to close roads during the Queen's Platinum Jubilee weekend. Residents can get involved with the Big Jubilee Lunch, which will be happening across the extended bank holiday weekend in June. People can have a picnic in the park, host a party in a community centre, or a street party with their neighbours. Councillor Karen Shakespeare, Cabinet Member for Public Realm, said, "This is the first time people will have been able to celebrate the Platinum Jubilee of a reigning British monarch. This is a moment in history which we want to help people to celebrate in the best way they can and be able to remember for many years to come. I'm so pleased we are able to waive the road closure fee for our residents, which will help them to be able to hold street parties, and I'd urge people to get in touch if they're planning to host one to make sure they don't miss out. Call Dudley Council Plus on 0300 555 2345 to request a road closure for a street party. The last date for applications to be approved is Friday, May 13th. Other events to mark this historic milestone include a tea party on May 25th, the lighting of a beacon at Dudley Castle on June the 2nd, and the planting of a host of trees across the borough as part of the Queen's Green Canopy. To request tickets for the tea party or to find out more about the borough's Jubilee activities, visit the Mayor of Dudley website.
A former training centre in Wolverhampton could be demolished under plans to build a new health centre and homes. Council chiefs are set to back the proposals, which will see the vacant Oxley Day Training Centre on Probert Road torn down for good. No planning permission has been applied for, but conversations have been held over the council-owned site with health chiefs in the region. And they have backed the proposed scheme, which would be funded from a mixture of grants and loans, officials have said. Wolverhampton Council Deputy Chief Executive Mark Taylor said, "This is an ambitious proposal that makes use of a brownfield site that is no longer in use. It will provide invaluable health and wellbeing services for the local community and will also help deliver more and better homes in Oxley." The council has been working closely with the Black Country and West Birmingham Clinical Commissioning Group, GPs and the Royal Wolverhampton NHS Trust over the proposals. The new facility will provide more integrated working between primary care, community services, social care and other providers, accommodation for GP practices, a base for district nursing teams and a clinical bookable suite to support the delivery of out-of-hospital services. And the residential plan will include an opportunity for key worker housing and affordable living, with a mix of 34 housing units planned across the site, including apartments and townhouses.
Work is progressing on a £250,000 scheme to restore Briley Hill's historic war memorial. The leader of Dudley Council, Councillor Patrick Harley, donned a hard hat to meet stonemasons and get an update on the second phase of the painstaking improvement works. The first phase saw the Grade 2 listed soldier sitting atop the memorial repaired and enhanced, walls and railings repaired and new architectural lighting installed. Now contractors are working on laying a pavement of natural stone on the terrace around the war memorial and undertaking a programme of hard and soft landscaping works within the memorial gardens itself. The topography of the site has made this a challenging scheme, requiring substantial structural work to the immediate stone walls that run through the centre of the site. The work is part of a wider regeneration programme for the town, through the £1.8 million Briley Hill High Street Heritage Action Zone, a government-funded grant programme administered by Historic England. The project will also see new planters installed in the four inset bays, which can be used to support Briley Hill in bloom, delivered by Briley Hill Community Forum. Keen champions for restoration works being undertaken at Briley Hill War Memorial. Councillor Harley, leader of the council, said, "It's fantastic to see the progress that has been made on this project and to see skilled stonemasons in action. The war memorial sits on a key gateway into Briley Hill and once restored will ensure the memories of those heroic soldiers listed on it will live on and to inspire and educate future generations. It is one of a number of positive developments in the pipeline for Briley Hill.
A cancer support centre at a hospital in the Black Country has received an almost £10,000 upgrade to help create a more comfortable area for patients. The Macmillan Information and Support Centre at New Cross Hospital in Wolverhampton provides practical and emotional support for people and their families. The centre had an open plan layout located on the main hospital corridor, but noise from the corridor made difficult and personal conversations harder. But now the Royal Wolverhampton NHS Trust Charity has funded a £9,930 refurbishment of the centre to ensure the area is as comfortable as possible. The money has been used to provide soundproofing and better quality, more comfortable furniture and lighting to create a warm and welcoming environment. Kelly Pritchard, Macmillan Information and Support Centre Manager, said, "We are so grateful for the upgrade to our important support centre. We wanted to make sure we provided an environment patients feel comfortable to talk to us in, so making it more private has been well received." Leanne Bood, Charity Development Manager, added, "Thank you to all of our supporters that have made this refurbishment possible. The charity welcomes projects of this nature as we want to ensure all patients and their families are as comfortable as possible within a healing environment. The project will certainly make a difference."
A car dealer has been fined after selling a Subaru for more than £3,000 on Gumtree, despite it not being safe to drive. Stephen Hickman, who traded as Netherton Car Sales, sold a Subaru Forester with broken brakes and serious corrosion for £3,500. He admitted the supply of an unroadworthy car and to misleading a customer about the extent of corrosion on a car at Walsall Magistrates Court. Two customers from Doncaster travelled to Netherton to view the car and were told by the trader that the corrosion did not affect its structure. The extent of the corrosion only came to light when the customer started wire brushing the rust off the bottom of the Subaru with the intention of spraying it with wax oil and found the rusted holes. A vehicle expert later concluded that the corrosion was very well established and was extremely severe near to the rear suspension top mountings, making the vehicle unroadworthy. The vehicle expert also found the brakes to be defective in that the offside rear wheel cylinder was leaking and commented that all of the faults on this vehicle could have easily been identified by any careful and competent member of the motor trade prior to sale. Hickman of Seymour Road, Stourbridge, was ordered to pay a full refund and fined £1,620. With costs, he was told to pay a total of more than £13,000. Councillor Nicholas Barlow, Dudley Council's Cabinet Member responsible for trading standards, said, "This prosecution sends out a clear message to car traders that they have a responsibility to check that the vehicles they sell are lawful and safe to use on the road and are described accurately. Dudley Trading Standards will not hesitate to investigate complaints where customers have been misled or where they have been sold an unroadworthy vehicle."
Now we have some information concerning the government's council tax rebate scheme. As part of the government's national initiative to help households with rising energy costs, most residents in council tax bands A to D will receive a £150 rebate. It will not be taken off residents' council tax bills, which are being sent out this month, but be issued as a separate payment at a later date. Dudley Council is urging residents to pay their council tax bill by direct debit in order to receive their £150 council tax energy rebate sooner. Those who pay by direct debit will receive this payment automatically in the weeks following their April direct debit being taken. Once the direct debit has been set up and the first payment collected, the rebate will then be paid in the following weeks. Councillor Steve Clark, Cabinet Member for Finance, said, "We want to get this rebate to residents as quickly as possible. Paying your council tax by direct debit is the simplest and most convenient way to pay and will mean we can make this payment to you automatically. If you are not already paying by direct debit, please visit dudley.gov.uk/residents/council-tax to sign up. The sooner we have your details, the sooner we can send you your payment. Anyone who continues to pay their council tax by other methods will be contacted with details of how to apply for the rebate in due course. We now have our final block of local news for this edition. And starting this one off, we first hear Ed.
HSBC has said it will shut 69 branches, including one in the Black Country, as it continues to close banks because of customer switching online. The banking giant has confirmed the branch in the Into Maryhill shopping centre in Briley Hill will shut on the 28th of July. The move, which could hit around 400 workers across the branches, is the latest in a flurry of closure announcements by the UK's biggest banks. In January last year, the bank announced 82 previous closures. HSBC said that less than 50% of its customers now regularly use its branch network, with footfall dropping sharply over the past 5 years. A spokesman for the bank added that it hopes to redeploy all 400 staff to new roles within 15 miles of their homes. Jackie Uy, head of HSBC's UK's branch network, said, "The way people bank is changing, something the pandemic has accelerated. Our branches continue to support people with their more complex banking needs, but the way we can do this also has to evolve. With the addition of banking hubs, community pop-ups and continued use of the post office network. Rather than a one-size-fits-all branch approach, it's an approach built around the way different customers are choosing to bank in different areas."
Students at a city college paid a moving tribute to social care staff through messages of thanks. The students at the Wellington Road campus of Wolverhampton College wrote messages of thanks on a giant remembrance wall during the first Social Care Day of Remembrance and Reflection on Thursday, March 17th. Organised by social care bodies across the country, the Social Care Day of Remembrance and Reflection honours the work of the adult social care workforce and remembers those who lost their lives during the pandemic. Students working towards diplomas in health and social care and counselling, as well as those doing health-focused access to higher education and foundation degree courses, led the tributes. There were also students from other courses, as well as college staff, who left messages on the wall. One message read, "Dear NHS key workers, we are very grateful for your gratitude by putting others' lives before your own. During the pandemic and always, the NHS are heroes." Another message simply said, "Thank you for the vaccinations that gave me my job." The students chose to take part in the Day of Remembrance, as many of them have part-time jobs as care assistants or volunteer at New Cross Hospital, care homes, day centres, food banks or PCR testing centres. Many also had first-hand experience of working in the social care sector during the pandemic.
Visitors will be given the chance to explore Black Country Living Museum by night as they host a night of entertainment in April. Red by Night will celebrate the area's industrial heritage with an atmospheric evening of live entertainment, industrial demonstrations, steam action, vintage vehicles and living history. Famously described as Black by Day and Red by Night, the Black Country played a pivotal role in the Industrial Revolution and Britain's national story. And visitors will be able to discover what it was like to live in one of Britain's most heavily industrialised landscapes at the event on Saturday, April the 30th. A spokesperson for Black Country Living Museum said, "The mighty Anchor Forge will be in full steam, with its one-ton hammer blow smashing into metal with a thunderous roar. When you see it, you won't be surprised that it produced some of the largest metalwork the world has ever known. Hear the sound of hammers clanging and see sparks fly as reenactors use century-old techniques to skillfully craft chains and nails. Discover what's inside the Newcomen Engine House and find out about Thomas Newcomen and his ingenious invention. Marvel over the array of road-based steam engines, large and miniature, and don't miss the fire-breathing entertainers and live music. Not forgetting all your usual favourite things that make up a fantastic evening out at the museum. Pop into the sweet shop for your favourite traditional sweets. Try your luck at vintage fairground games and enjoy some Boston fiddle from BCLM's famous fish and chip shop. Red by Night starts at 7 p.m. and finishes at 10:30 p.m. on April the 30th. Tickets start at £8 and can be booked online at bclm.com.
The Severn Valley Railway will postpone all footplate experiences until the end of May as part of a drive to conserve coal stocks. It comes as the railway announced some changes needed to be made to its operation on Sunday in order to conserve stocks of coal. The SVR, in common with other railways across the country, is facing challenges in sourcing new supplies, made worse by the conflict in Eastern Europe. As a result, all footplate experiences until the end of May have been postponed until a later date, and the railway has informed all passengers who will be affected by these changes. Helen Smith, Managing Director, said, "We are having to make some difficult decisions in order to conserve our existing supply of coal, and we need to do all we can to make our existing supply last longer. We are working hard to secure new supplies, which will ease the situation. We are having to postpone some of our footplate experiences as an initial measure and have contacted all those that are impacted at this moment in time. The Severn Valley Railway is looking at further measures to conserve and prolong our existing coal supplies, which include using a mixture of coal and other materials, including e-coal and ovoid. This issue has come at a very difficult time for everyone in the heritage railway industry, as we are all recovering from the financial challenges brought on by the pandemic."
A plaque to commemorate three brothers who all became mayor of the same city and were known for their philanthropy has been unveiled. William Highfield Jones was a successful businessman, author, local politician and philanthropist who became the 25th mayor of Wolverhampton in 1873. He founded one of the largest firms in Wolverhampton, Jones Brothers & Co., in 1853 and ran it with two of his brothers, Harry and Benjamin. His other two brothers, John and Joseph, also became mayors and are also commemorated on the plaque. W.H. Jones was a passionate advocate of improved education and was an active member of the Wolverhampton School Board. His legacy, the William Highfield Jones Memorial Schools, demonstrated his commitment to improve education for all. The Mayor of Wolverhampton, Councillor Greg Brackenbridge, said, "It was an honour to unveil the blue plaque in recognition of three former mayors of Wolverhampton, William, John and Joseph Jones, who, through their philanthropy, helped many people in the city. Their selfless actions have benefited the people of Wolverhampton for many years and continue to do so today. The plaque will be located in the Mayor's Parlour and is a fitting tribute to their altruism."
Up next on this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News, we hear from Flashback Roger and his Did You Know feature.
Hello everyone, I hope that you're all okay and ready for this week's little episode that should warm the cockles of your hearts, because I've gone all spiritual in the boozy sense, if you know what I mean. Now then, did you know that John, Johnny Walker, was a grocer in Kilmarnock, Scotland in the mid-1800s who specialised in blending tea before he decided to start blending whiskey. Renowned Victorian illustrator Tom Brown drew a picture of a striding man on a menu during lunch with Lord Stevenson, one of Johnny Walker's directors. This eventually became the striding man you see on the bottle today. With a value of £4.91 billion, Scotch whisky's exports account for over 20% of all UK food and drink exports in 2019. Some 42 bottles of whisky are exported from Scotland every second. However, with a population of 5.4 million and more than 20 million barrels of whisky in store, Scotland has almost 4 casks of whisky per citizen. and Joe Sheridan, the head chef at Foynes, County Limerick, claims to have invented and named the Irish coffee. A group of American passengers in disembarked from a Pan Am flying boat on a miserable winter's evening in the 1940s. So Sheridan added whiskey to their coffee. When they asked if they were being served Brazilian coffee, Sheridan replied, "No, it's Irish coffee." And the record for the smallest bottle goes to White Horse, who produced a bottle containing just 1.3 millilitres of whiskey. And the record for the largest bottle of whiskey goes to the distillers of Famous Grouse, who created a 1.7 metre bottle containing 228 litres of whiskey. The Guinness World Record for the oldest bottle of whiskey in the world belongs to the Glenavon Special Liqueur Whiskey. Bottled between 1851 and 1858, it sold at auction for an astounding £14,850. And there is a brand of whiskey named Monkey Shoulder, and during the malting process, the barley was traditionally turned with a shovel to promote even malting and reduce the tangling of barley sprouts. As a result of this repetitive motion, maltsters suffered a condition which caused one arm to hang lower than the other, known as Monkey Shoulder. Well, I hope you enjoyed that little dip, nip or dram into the world of whiskey, and that it's not left you woozy and bandy-legged. I'll end this session with a salutation. So cheers, good health, down the hatch, bottoms up, San Javar, or as my grandad would say, get it down your neck, chap. Till next week then, I'll just say bye for now. Ta-ra a bit. Ta-ra.
Cheers for throwing us those facts, Roger. Up next, we have the sport.
Hello, I'm Ian, and here's your latest football news. A first goal since July 2020 for Johnny Castro Otto and a first Premier League goal for Francisco Trincao put Wolves in a commanding and deserved lead at the break. But just 5 minutes into the second, referee Kevin Friend sent Jimenez off, giving him a second yellow for a glorified 50-50 with goalkeeper Ilan Meslier. That controversial decision changed the game, and Wolves' horrendous defending saw leads notch twice in 3 minutes through Jack Harrison and Rodrigo. In the first minute of added time, some more insipid Wolves defending allowed Luke Ayling to smash home and take all 3 points. Speaking after the game, Bruno Lage said, "Everyone can take bad decisions. When you watch the image on TV, you can see it's a bad decision. If it was right, I'd be the first man to come here and say it's the right decision. Both players tried to win the ball. I know the referee has already watched the image and he continued with the same opinion. He thinks he is right, and after that, I have nothing to say. It was a bad decision that changed the game." After the international break, Wolves next take on Aston Villa at Molineux. The Baggies travel to Ashton Gate, having put in an outstanding display to beat Fulham on Tuesday. But they didn't get anywhere near those heights against Nigel Pearson's side, despite needing a result to keep their promotion hopes alive. In a first half in which Albion created next to nothing, the hosts took the lead through Naki Wells, who was introduced from the bench after 6 minutes following an injury to Antoine Semenyo. Steve Bruce's side improved after the interval and got back on terms through a Carlin Grant penalty. But when Andreas Weimann scored with 5 minutes remaining, it looked as though City would take all 3 points. Bruce, though, rolled the dice by bringing on Adam Reach in the 90th minute. And just seconds later, he fired home with virtually the last kick of the game to rescue a point for his side. The result means Albion now sits 7 points outside the playoffs with 8 games left to play. After the international break, West Brom next have a trip to St Andrews as they take on Birmingham City.
Now we have 10 Today. 10 Today is a series of 10-minute exercise sessions that can be done at home by anyone. New episodes will appear fortnightly.
Hello everyone, this is 10 Today, a 10-minute set of exercises to do at home to help keep yourself active. Before we get to today's presenter, a couple of housekeeping points to note. The 10 Today project is funded by the Big Lottery and Sport England, and when you're doing the exercises, it's important that you don't push yourself too far, and by taking part, you agree to 10 Today's terms and conditions. You can read these terms and conditions at tnflink.uk/10 10T. And the 10T is the digit 1, the digit 0 and the letter T. And please remember that you agree to take part at your own risk. Today's exercises are brought to you by Terry, and here he is.
Hello everyone. This is a short 10-minute physical activity routine which will get you moving and stretching. It's great for your health, including improving your balance and building up your strength. Just take it at your own pace. There are plenty of options. If an exercise feels too much, just take it easy and have a break. All the exercises can be done either stood up or sitting down, so just do whatever feels good for you today. We want you all to do this exercise safely. You are responsible for monitoring how you are feeling throughout the session. If you feel any discomfort or pain, for example, if you feel unwell or dizzy or experience palpitations, then please stop and seek medical advice. If remaining seated, at least to begin with, you should have your feet flat on the floor. It would be ideal if you can use a hard chair that you can sit upright in, which could be a dining chair, preferably without arms, which can get in the way of some exercises. Okay, if you are stood up, just step your feet hip-width apart, relax your shoulders, and stand up nice and tall, and take a couple of deep breaths. If you're sitting down, place both feet firmly on the floor, keep your back straight, relax your shoulders, and take a couple of deep breaths. In and out, in and out. So, the first exercise is called supporting the sky. Raise both arms together, straight up to the ceiling, with your palms up. Then turn your palms to face down and push down towards the ground. And again. So hands up and hands down and repeat. Remembering to push up with those palms supporting the sky and down. And now keep going. This is a really good exercise just to get those wrists moving, and it stretches the muscles in your arms and shoulders, which can often get a little tight. It's also just a nice gentle warm-up. So we should have just a couple more now. So hands up with your palms up, then palms down and hands down, and one more time, hands up and hands down. The next exercise is called dancing the rainbow. So you want to move your feet a little bit wider than hip width apart into a wide stance. One arm at a time, you raise your right arm straight up with your palm up and push down towards the ground. Now do the same with the left arm, up and down. And keep going, remembering to turn that palm down on the way down. Keep going, alternating your arms. This is a really good exercise for strengthening those shoulders and arms. Keep going, remembering to change those arms and facing that palm up to the ceiling when you press up, and then palm facing down when you press down. So, the next one is called kick the ball. If you're standing, I recommend you're near something that you can hold onto to help with balance. This could be an armchair, a kitchen chair, or a wall. Standing on your left leg, gently from the hip, swing your right leg forward, keeping it as straight as possible, and then swing it back to standing. So, swing in your right leg and keep repeating that action forward and back. If you are chair-based, straighten out your right leg in front of you, feeling that nice stretch down your leg, then return your foot to the floor and repeat on the same leg. So whether you're sitting or standing, you're just swinging your right leg forward and back, imagining there's a ball in front of you that you want to kick. Do this a couple more times. This is great for mobilizing your hips, stretching your leg, and improving your balance. Now, we're going to do exactly the same for the left leg. So gently swing your leg from the hip, forward and back. Forward and back, keeping that leg nice and straight. You might be starting to feel your heart rate go up a little now. That's great. It's perfectly normal, and it means you are building up your strength. And now a couple more times. We should all be feeling nice and warm now. Next up is the twister. So stand up or sit up tall and keep your back straight with your feet facing forward. Place your hands on your hips, relax in those shoulders, and twist your upper body to the right. Then twist back to the center and then to the other side. So just keep twisting your upper body from left to right, feeling that nice stretch in your side. And just keep going for a few more times. Good work. You definitely should be feeling warm now. The next one is called moving legs. Again, if you're standing, you might want to be near something you can hold on to for balance. This can be an armchair, a kitchen chair, or wall. So raise your right leg out straight in front of you, then move it out to the side so you can feel that nice stretch in the top of your leg. Then move it back to the center and back down. Repeat this with the left leg. So lift your leg up straight out in front, then move out to the side, then back straight and back down. So that's up, out to the side, back to the center and back down. And again, do that a few more times. This is really good for your hips, tummy and thighs. Slow and controlled is more challenging and rewarding. So keep going. Remember to keep that leg straight. Lift your leg up straight out in front, then move out to the side, then back straight to the center and back down. So up out straight to the side, back straight to the center and back down. And a couple of more times. Now we have circle the sky. Raise both arms together straight up above your head and circle them in a small circle twice, using your shoulders to move too, and then push your arms down towards the ground. And again, raise your arms together straight up, circle them round twice and push down. So raise your arms up, circle one, two and push down. Again, this is a really good one for getting your shoulders moving and building up strength. Keep going, really moving those shoulders and arms. We should all be getting warm now. If you want to make it a little harder, move your shoulders in even bigger circles. So just a couple more here, lifting the arms up, circling twice, and pushing down. And just one more, that's good. Next is going low. These exercises are slightly different if you are sitting or standing. So if you're standing, place your feet hip-width apart with your feet facing forward, bend at your knees slightly and try to keep your back straight, and then straighten up your legs again. Remember to keep your feet facing forward and try not to let your knees move in front of your toes. So you're just moving up and down by bending your legs, a little bit like a mini squat. The lower you go, the harder it will be. If you're sitting, just straighten out your right leg right in front of you, feeling a nice stretch down your leg, then return your foot to the floor and repeat on the other side. Whichever variation you're doing, you're working your legs. If you're standing, you are also working your bottom. Okay, so keep going, always remembering to keep your back straight. So for those standing, bending knees down and then straighten up. And sitting, raising alternate legs up and placing down. If you're standing, can you make it more challenging by going down slowly and holding at the bottom briefly? And just a few more. Next is butterfly wings. So this is a nice exercise where you're rolling your shoulders back. Bend your arms and place both hands on your shoulders and rotate your arms back in a circular motion so that you're rolling your shoulders, rolling both arms backwards at the same time. If this is a bit challenging, you can do one arm at a time. So keep moving, circling both arms back. This is great for the shoulders and the upper back. Keep Keep moving. They can be quite energetic, these. Make the circle as wide as you can. Keep going. And just a couple more now. Now we have charging the fists. Whether you're standing or sitting, place your feet hip distance apart in a strong stance. Clench your fists, holding them at chest height, then punch out with your right hand and pull back. And repeat the punch with your left. Keep going, punching with alternate hands. It's a great stress buster, this. Really think about how your muscles are responding here, making the punches slow and controlled. Just a couple more now. Good job. Now we all really should be feeling warm. If you're a little out of breath, that's a good thing. It means you've been working. And if you're not a little out of breath, can you work a little harder next time? Well done. We're nearly finished. We'll just finish off with a nice stretch and cool down. So, we're going to start with a hamstring stretch. So, feet facing forward. Step forward with your right foot, placing your foot out in front of you with your foot flat on the floor. Keep the right leg straight. Then bend your left leg and put your hands on your hips and just lean your chest forward gently. Whether you're sitting or standing, you should feel a nice stretch down the back of the right leg. And now hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1, and finish. Then return to an upright position and swap your legs over. So keeping your feet facing forward, this time step forward with your left foot, placing your foot out in front of you with your foot flat on the floor. Keep this leg straight, then bend your right leg and just lean the chest forward gently. Again, feeling that nice long stretch at the back of the left leg. And hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1, and finish. And the final stretch, hugging a tree. Just hold your arms out in front of you, just like you are hugging a tree, directly in front of you. Your arms form a nice circle in front of you, and then cup your hands together, putting one hand in front of the other, and push your hands together, feeling that nice stretch across your shoulders and arms. And now hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1, and finish. Now sit up or stand up and return to that nice, relaxed posture we had at the beginning. Brilliant! So that was all the exercises. We hope you enjoyed them. Just to finish off, shaking out, just shake those arms and hands and then legs and feet. Great work, everyone. Doing 10 today just 3 times a week can have great health benefits. It's fun and you'll simply feel better. So do keep going. Thank you for listening.
Well, while we cool down from that, we get to find out all about the weather. Brought to us by Mina.
The weather for this week ahead looks to be mostly dry and cloudy. Temperatures for the week will be hovering around 12 degrees. UV levels are expected to be low throughout the week. The sunrise and sunset times are 6:48 a.m. for the sunrise and 7:39 p.m. for the sunset. For Friday 25th of March, we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 17 degrees. Saturday 26th of March will be sunny with a gentle breeze and we'll see a maximum of 15 degrees. And on Sunday 27th of March, all the way through to Thursday 31st of March, we will have light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 12 degrees. So that's your forecast for the week ahead. As always, enjoy the weather.
Thanks for that information about the weather, Mina. Now we have another edition of Sounds of Nature. The lesser-spotted woodpecker is the smallest and least common of the UK's three species of woodpecker. He's most often found in the tops of trees, where it creeps along branches in search of insects. Its drumming is much quieter and less vigorous than that of the great spotted woodpecker. Its presence is often only given away by this or their call. The lesser spotted woodpecker is small in size, being not much bigger than a house sparrow. Males are black and white, with their red crown cap, and females are plain black and white. They both have a distinctive white ladder marking down their black back. This recording was made by Lawrence Shove and was made available by the British Library. We now hand over to Mina, who reveals this week's quiz answers.
Hello, and here are your answers for this week's flashback quiz. Are you ready? Question 1. What did Johnny Walker do before he made whiskey? And the answer, he was a grocer. Question 2. How many bottles of whiskey are exported per second from Scotland? And the answer here is 42. Question 3. What was the name of the man who claims to have invented Irish coffee? And the answer here is Joey Sheridan. Question 4. Which brand holds the record for having the smallest bottle of whiskey? And of course, it's Whitehorse. And finally, question 5. How much did the world's oldest bottle of whiskey fetch at auction? And the answer here is 14,850. How did you do? Great, I hope. But if not, there's always another chance to have a go next week. Now, did you get the answer to this week's Guess the Sound question that Rob asked at the start of the show? Here's one more chance to hear it before I tell you the answer. The sound you just heard was a recording of some chirping chicks. Now, to end this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News, we have a brief history of Mother's Day.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, this is Anne with an item from our local monthly magazine. Mother's Day, a potted history. In the 1500s, people would return to their mother church, which was the main church or cathedral of the area, for a service to be held on Lateri Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Lent. This would have been either a large local church or more often the cathedral of the area. This was commonly called going a mothering. In later times, Mothering Sunday became a day when domestic servants were given a day off to visit their own mother church, most usually with their mothers, fathers, and other family members. Sometimes it was the only time that the whole family could gather together, since on other days they were prevented by conflicting working hours, as many were in service. Later, young people who were in service were given a day off on that date so they could visit their families, whether returning to their mother church or not. Some would pick wild flowers along the way to place in the church or give to their mothers. By the early 20th century, the tradition of Mothering Sunday had started to wane. However, in the United States, a campaign for an official Mother's Day, spearheaded by Anna Jarvis of West Virginia, was well underway by 1908. Anna wanted to honour her own mother by continuing work she had started and to set aside a day for everyone to honour their mothers, the person who has done more for you than anyone in the world. Anna's own mother, Anne Jarvis, had been a peace activist who had cared for wounded soldiers on both sides of the American Civil War and had created Mother's Day work clubs to address public health issues. Due to Anna Jarvis's campaign efforts, several US states officially recognized Mother's Day. Then, in 1914, the president, Woodrow Wilson, signed the proclamation creating Mother's Day as the second Sunday in May, a national holiday to honor all mothers. Although Jarvis was successful in founding Mother's Day, when the holiday was inevitably commercialized, she became resentful, angry that companies would profit from the day. By the early 1920s, Hallmark and other companies had started selling Mother's Day cards. Jarvis became so embittered, she even tried to rescind Mother's Day, the day she had worked so hard to establish. Her original intention was that a show of appreciation should be made to mothers with a personal letter expressing love and gratitude. Jarvis started organizing boycotts and threatened lawsuits to try to stop this inevitable commercialization, all in vain. The established Mother's Day holiday was later assimilated into other countries as well as our own, and here it came to be synonymous with Mothering Sunday. In modern consciousness, they are now seen as one and the same occasion. Perhaps spare a thought for Anna Jarvis, who worked so hard to establish Mother's Day and her original intentions for the day.
TNF Soundings.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!